live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
WGN, it's the Steve Cochran Show. Thanks for being with us on a foggy Tuesday morning. Yesterday we were leaving and Bertrand said, I can't see across the street. This fog is insane.
And it was so gloomy yesterday. Yeah. It was just the whole day. Oh. I just deleted.
No kidding. Hey, Justin Kaufman, welcome.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You're going to be playing with us a little bit today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a White Sox game tonight, last night as well, and excited to mix it up with you guys this morning.
No, we love having you in here, too, and it gives you a chance to see daylight.
That's right. I like the winter months because you don't know what time it is. When I come in here at 5:30 in the morning, it looks exactly when I left at 11:30, 12 o'clock. So.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah.
No. With the weather and I call it the Ghostbusters look. Every time we look out onto Michigan Avenue and you see, you know, the clouds moving in over the Carbon Carbide building, it looks like just that ominous scene.
You think there might be a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man just around the corner.
Somewhere lurking in the background. Hey, did you guys see this cover story last night? Ben Bradley did a really nice job with WGN-TV Investigates on Illinois residents are fleeing the state more than any other state in the union for financial reasons.
Mm, I did. And Nashville.
Wow, how about that? So Ben went down to Nashville, interviewed about four or five different Chicagoans who were born and raised here but decided to move for financial reasons. Mm-hmm. Every one said, I wouldn't change a thing. I would have done it sooner.
I don't know. The one guy seemed kind of, he didn't seem like he was so happy where he moved, though, right?
The tone
in his voice kind of said, well, it was kind of rough at the beginning, and now I guess we'll live here. He didn't sound too excited.
It's interesting because they put up on WGNTV.com, it's a cost of living calculator. So you put in what you make, where you live, and where you'd want to move. And pretty much everyone I put in, I was just kind of randomly thinking, oh, okay, if I were to move today, of course you're going to think Phoenix or warm weather or LA, somewhere warmer. That's just what I was popping in. Every single city I put in, you know, you think the bigger cities too, was less expensive.
Even like South Carolina or North Carolina, because that's where a lot of people I hear want to go.
Well, those are where people are going. You know, those are kind of, I don't want to say smaller cities, but not as big. Say not top 10 as far as population
goes. Right, like Greenville.
Yeah. So that was less expensive. But I thought Phoenix might be more expensive. It was less expensive in every realm except, I want to say, healthcare or maybe something. But that was only a 2 or 3% difference.
This story, and it's a story that is echoed in the Tribune yesterday. There's also a story that I've seen floating around, or at least sponsorships from the Illinois Policy Institute. It seems to be this idea of whether or not you can live in the state of Illinois is, of course, a topic for the election.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it's coming up now seems to be it's a rallying point on one side of the aisle about how much we're taxed and how much what the cost is of living in the state of Illinois. And I wonder how much of that, if not put on every single channel and shoved down our throat, we would be thinking about in the state of Illinois. If every day people are like, I'm out.
Right.
Or if they're like, it's election year and everyone's telling me, you should go.
Yeah. It's interesting because all of the surrounding states, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, saw, I would say, pretty interesting population increases. You know, Kentucky, 18,000. I know he went to Nashville, too. But 32,000 people moved to Indiana.
That's crazy.
That's a huge number.
The story, I think it was a story in the Tribune, was about Kentucky, and it's about how there's a little bit of pushback from those states to say there's like an influx of people from Illinois, residents from Illinois that are coming in, and you know, they're almost, you know, like a refugee kind of situation where bordering states of Illinois are taking on a lot of residents because, yes, the cost of living is much lower.
Right.
And there was a question from some of the local residents pushing back, saying, hey, you know, this is our state. We don't need all these people from Illinois. We don't need these flatlanders.
And the cost of living may be lower, but what are you really paying for? And again, I'm just going to be the homer here because I love Chicago.
Oh, I do, too.
You moved to Nashville. Everything's going to close at 6 o'clock in the evening. Nothing will be open past 6 p.m.
That's interesting. Broadway. That's why if you put the cities in the calculator, Steve, it breaks down transportation, health care, entertainment. You know, so if you want to go see a play, whereas maybe here you could see a play every single night, maybe in different venues or different cities, they only have, I'm just using plays
or musicals as an example. There will always be examples of big city flight because of the cost of living. I live in the city of Chicago proper. You do as well. Yes. I mean, it is expensive to live here. It's a choice to live here.
Yeah.
When you're talking about different communities, whether it be the western suburbs or the southern suburbs or even central Illinois, and those people are making decisions to leave because of cost of living is too high,
right,
then I think that's an issue. If you're saying you're leaving Chicago because cost of living is too high, that's not a political issue. That's just life. That's
right.
New York
it
City.
Totally
that's Los
is.
Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago. You make a choice to live here because, as you just mentioned, Steve, the amenities that are here are world class, but you're paying for them.
Right. And Ben had a really neat line, I thought, in that story. He said, while we have the most beautiful skyline, it might be reasons that we're leaving are the bottom line.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds kind of interesting.
Playing games with the words.
Just something to think
those
about
newscasters.
Today.
Newscasters.
There you go. Justin, we're going to be chatting with you throughout the morning as well.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
So Dave and I are fighting about monkeys.
I wouldn't say we're fighting.
Listen, we're fighting. It was a fight.
It's very early. Justin, you're the ref here.
Yeah, ready.
Justin Coffin. I said something very casually. Did the monkey have a name? It doesn't matter what the story was about. Did the monkey have a name? And you snapped at me and said, why wouldn't the monkey have a name? So what are you, king of the monkeys? What do you want?
Why?
What are
I
you,
wouldn't exactly
boss?
Say I snapped at you.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm great. Sure the monkey has a name. Of course.
How do you know that? Maybe his name is Monkey. Maybe they just call him Monkey. Hello, Monkey.
Okay,
good
then
morning,
that's
monkey.
His name.
Well, no, that'd be a species.
No, like, well, could also
well, that's, I think, you know, I
well,
did
now you
his
tell name. The, you have to tell the story now.
No, you don't. No, it doesn't need any context. It's monkeys.
Dave's showing empathy. He's showing empathy for the monkey. He's
empathy.
Also
yeah.
He is. I he's mean, saying, hey, it's tough to not have a name. I can understand that.
I did have a cousin once who named his dog Dog.
And, oh, right. There you go. And any monkey,
cynical,
any monkey on a plane, you figure someone took
remember
the monkey.
Remember that movie, Monkeys on a Plane?
Yes, I do.
It was a Eurythmics
terrifying.
Song.
Monkeys on a Plane?
Was it?
On a Plane, yeah.
Oh.
So anybody who takes a monkey on a plane, that monkey's going to have a name.
Yeah, but not for everybody else. Everybody else would go, why is the damn monkey on a plane?
If I saw a monkey on the plane, I'd be like,
okay,
best
now
flight
you guys
ever.
Have to tell the story now.
Yeah.
The monkey got loose on a plane. There we go.
Yeah, yesterday.
Story's done. And if I hear one more person do the stories and say, oh, someone went bananas, I'm going to,
that's
you
good.
Know.
Well, that
really?
You
no,
that,
I'm telling you, I'm with you
that entire
now.
Setup just so you could do that line? Really?
I didn't do the line. Every story, it's online. I'm like, oh, enough with the bananas.
6:22. Let's do the six.
King of the monkeys. Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
I'm Dave Ennett. I'm the voice of the monkeys.
With the top six at six.
Sponsored Mike Natsmith on line one for you.
Heating and cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
Hi. Item number one. Representative Kelly Cassidy, a Democrat from the North Side, submitted her resignation last week because she felt allies of Mike Madigan were targeting her position. This goes back to sexual harassment in Springfield. The sheriff's office contends Cassidy left amid a, quote, philosophical difference. You know, of all the times I've been fired or thrown out of a place, I've never used philosophical differences.
I think the biggest part of this story is finding out that a representative has a part-time job in Cook County. I didn't know they could do that. They just work at different offices in different places throughout government.
Do whatever you want.
You can, I guess.
Right.
Nailed it.
No rules.
Illinois. You can do whatever you want.
DART is pushing to increase penalties for inmates who repeatedly expose themselves while in custody. That seems right.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Madigan was supposed to help in all of this and look the other way.
By the way, the Tribune did contact.
How's Mike Madigan feel about monkeys?
I don't know, but the Tribune did try to contact him for a comment on the story, and that's what they got.
They got crickets from Madigan? What a shocker.
Yes, sir.
Oh, the crickets mean you're a big winner if you're calling number 7, Mike Madigan, not showing up for today's show either, show number 1,151. He's totally not like me. He doesn't even like to be invited.
But what would you ask him? What do you think he would say? Like I remember a while back
I'd
we had this big thing.
Everything.
Yeah, but he wouldn't answer.
It doesn't matter.
So
he'd be
good
on
at being
the record.
Slick.
No,
yeah,
he's
I know.
Not
at
good at being
point,
slick. He's
at certain
terrible
point,
at being
you're like,
slick.
What's the point of offering them any time if they're not going to talk? That's just my thought on that.
His avoidance
in general.
His avoidance of answering any questions at all
Agreed.
Is an absolute outrage.
It is.
Even if you were to come on and say no comment for 10 minutes, at least he'd have the guts to come on. He's a coward. He's a coward who hides behind Steve Brown.
Something tells me he'd come on, and then we'd be fully, everybody would be dissatisfied across the board. So
well, I'm not looking for satisfaction. I'm looking for him to be the Speaker of the House. Creep.
Right.
He is a creep. You know, and again, everything I've said about Mike Madigan here, if any of it's untrue, come on and defend yourself. Next. The campaign worker, Elena Hampton, who disrupted House Speaker Mike Madigan's political operations with her sexual harassment allegations against a top lieutenant who had filed a federal lawsuit, said her decision to report the behavior cost her a chance to advance in the organization. You know why? Because Mike Madigan didn't stand up for it.
There you go. Her court case begins this morning.
Next, Steve Mnuchin. Handsome fella. Can we agree on that? Hours after Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said the U.S. was putting aside its trade war with China, the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer warned Beijing that the Trump administration might still impose tariffs. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
They're nimble. They're liquid. They're fluid. They go left. They go right. The Trump administration. Who knows what's going to happen next? No one. Do you see the Trump phone story that came out last night? I think it was Axios. Might have been. I don't know. It doesn't matter the source. We'll figure that out. But Trump has a series of burner phones. And Obama and Bush, you know, 15 years ago, life was different, would change out those phones every 30 days. Trump refuses to change his phone every 30 days because it's too much of a hassle.
Oh, my God. Right. Okay. And that could be a great thing for the investigation, too.
Possibly, but hackers... And
yeah. That's
hackers,
why they do it, to switch him out because of hackers.
Right.
And, the fact that he doesn't want to do it because
it's too much of a hassle.
I like the buttons on this one.
Yeah, it's too much of a hassle. Well, he literally has, apparently, he has one phone that could only make and take calls.
Right. Unblocked.
And he has another phone that has just the Twitter app. Everything else is disabled. It just has the Twitter app where he can tweet and receive tweets and play on Twitter.
Right.
Those are his two main phones.
And one that just follows Melania. You know, like you can check.
You mean Melanie.
Yeah.
If you're upset about the emails, you have to be upset about this, don't you?
Well, not anymore. You know, Steve, you're speaking in terms of logic and common sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just punch myself.
Next. When Cub fans leave Wrigley Field starting tonight, they are going to have a chance to punch a button as opposed to someone else. One is a red button, an angry face. The other is a green button with a smiley face. Any idea why? Anyone? 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 Monkey Man?
Excuse me? No.
It's like a commentary, right?
The censor will have a question attached asking fans about their experience at the ballpark and whether they recommended a Wrigley visit to their family and friends. The customer experience sensors are among three types of equipment that Lane Tech students designed, created, and set up at Wrigley as part of a Lane of Things program. I think it's cool that the high school did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that it's part of the Wrigley Field experience. I don't know how much it's going to get used.
They should rename this experiment. How much is too much when it comes to beer? Because that's essentially
there you go.
Right. If you get a $12 beer, you're like, nope, give me the red button. Green button, $9, they'll take it.
I would think that if you're walking out of Wrigley Field and the bullpen blew the lead in the ninth inning, you're going to hit the red button. Otherwise, Cubs win, you hit the green button.
Maybe I should have a series of buttons, one related to the general experience, one related to pitching changes, one relating to beverages,
one
to souvenir
one
prices.
One just for licorice ropes.
Takes like 45 minutes to get out because people are punching buttons.
There's a bathroom button. It's just all around that.
Politico was the story about the Trump phone, give sources credit. Next, Italy's going to terminate the relationship with Mario Batali because of Mario Batali's sexual misconduct allegations. 60 Minutes did a big story on this Sunday night. Everything seems to be stemming from that. the food's good. Just try not to think of Mario Batali while you're there.
They said he hasn't been involved in Italy since December of 2017, so they only made the announcement because 60 Minutes put pressure on him. I mean, they were going to try to
squeak this
out.
When was he outed as a...
A while back, around December 2017,
so that's
right during the Me Too stuff, a ton of New York chefs. I can't remember all the names, but there were five or six that were all brought into the Me Too thing through food.
I think, though, what kind of dampened that was when he issued the apology. He included a recipe for cinnamon rolls.
That was it. That's right.
In the,
he put his
that?
Recipe for cinnamon rolls at the bottom.
Right. I'm so sorry. And by the way,
that's stunning.
You know, use wheat flour.
I'm sorry I touched women against their will. But if you'd like a delightful cinnamon roll, try this recipe.
The first allegations in December were more along the lines of just harassment. These allegations that came out in 60 Minutes were sexual assault.
Yeah.
So that's why they're, I think Italy's drawing the line and cutting ties today.
Well, does he own part of it, or is he just licensed?
He did. I think the Italy in New York was his, or he was part of it. I don't know how it worked out business-wise, but the expansion of that, of Italy to different cities, he definitely was the face of.
Anybody amazed, by the way, that no one has seen Kevin Spacey since the day he quit?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the story last night that Aziz Ansari went on stage in Greenwich Village at the Cellar, and a couple people left. One, I think it was one person left because of it. It was the first time he had been back on stage to do bits.
Yeah, and basically it was determined that he was the victim of a piece of bad writing about a bad date.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And finally, people are quitting Netflix. You know why? Because the Obamas got a production deal with
That's
Netflix.
Why? Come on.
Yeah.
How
again,
many people?
Over literally half the population. Okay, a half of the population. The other half claims they did. But people are quitting Netflix overnight and today. You expect it will continue because Netflix had the outrageousness of cutting a deal with the Obamas, a production deal.
I want to see numbers.
You really don't think that?
I do not believe people are leaving in any news.
Have you met the Trump fans?
Yes, but I don't believe people are going to give up their Netflix.
I'm not one. I finished Evil Genius last night. I couldn't stop.
We'll see, Steve. What friendly bet, Steve? Say, I don't know, a monkey?
That's always a friendly
with a
bet.
Name. With a name.
Sounds like monkey business to me.
I'll give, oh, God.
We're going to go bananas.
Okay.
That bet would be bananas.
What is it? What is it? Just the news people drive you nuts with puns?
No, I said that drove me nuts. It drove me bananas.
We've got a list of puns up here.
Hold on a second. I'm turning your microphone off first and yours second. And we'll be back in a moment with the headlines at 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I'm going to turn your mic back on, but if you pun, I'm going to turn it off again.
Hey, I'm not a punster.
All right, what'd you say was coming up?
Oh, we're going to have an update on this shooting.
That's right.
On the Northwest Side.
That's next on 720 WGN. And, you know, we're all part of Tribune Media, the big Tribune Media family. There's a very emotional, very inspirational story going on right now on Channel 9. As Robin Baumgarten is competing in the only 1K that exists in the world, as far as we know.
Yep.
Let's give it up for
She's
Robin.
Running 1K.
Look at her go. They got aerial footage, too, Steve.
Yeah, they've got the helicopter chasing her.
They do.
And some people are running behind her in support.
Great use of Chopper 9.
I believe so. When 1K would be how long? About a mile? Right? 2.2 miles in a 5K?
So, a little less,
than a mile, eight-tenths of a mile, something like that. So,
look at her go, though.
I mean, the speed is incredible. She is flying right now.
I think it's great that there's been such a show of support for her.
I love the people following her. It's like Forrest Gump.
And the people following her are actually running kind of slow so they don't pass her.
Is Paul Conrad the one who's in the chariot?
Oh, yeah.
There's someone.
He's in a chariot. Yeah, he's not running. All right, Dave, back to you.
Yeah, we'll pass along her final time when we get it. I think it'll be today. A game 7 tomorrow in the Eastern Conference Final after Washington beat Tampa Bay 3-0. I have no idea. Should probably do fine.
Mary Vanderbilt is literally the only one who hasn't said something loony on this show today. Just off the air, just seconds ago, this sentence came out of Justin Kaufman's mouth. White Sox game, right? Justin's nice enough to come in at this hour. So Justin says, let me just say this out loud. I love kale, okay? Bad enough. I love kale. My wife makes this crispy kale.
It's good.
Here's what you said. It's the best thing ever.
It is.
And I said to him, have you had pizza?
No, we put kale on our pizza.
Justin, it's been so much fun working with you.
What's your problem with kale? I thought you
would know. No.
Wait,
it's
lettuce.
It's a better textured
lettuce.
It's cute how you think you're going to sell me on this.
I'll sell you on it, buddy.
No, you know. Yeah, I've had kale.
You haven't had the right kale.
You say?
Whales eat kale. It's whale food.
Yeah, well.
I thought they eat other fish and people.
Yeah. See, they're more diversified in their diet than you think.
Tell Justin what you compare when Dave wants kale, what you say.
Yeah, turn around over your right shoulder. Yeah. You see that median out there?
Yeah.
That's kale. Why don't you go out and munch on that for a while? Right there.
Can I say something intelligent?
Munch on the lawn.
Yes, Mary, please.
Why don't people just eat spinach instead of kale? Why the big kale thing?
I don't love spinach. I like
kale.
Kale
has no taste.
No, but kale is a great... base. It's a generic base. Exactly. So pick one. But kale has the consistency of kale is different. It's a tougher.
Yeah, it's grass.
Lettuce.
No, it's not grass.
It's very
a stronger lettuce.
What started this whole conversation was Mary Sandberg Boyle texted you and me last night a picture of a product on the shelves at Whole Foods, guac kale mole. And I thought, this is great. I got to run out and get
some. It's good. I've had that.
It's guacamole made with kale?
They put kale in the guacamole, yeah.
Doesn't it ruin the guacamole?
No. Why would it ruin the guacamole?
It ruins everything else.
Yeah.
It's not a stupid question.
Do we have too much kale, Steve, in this country? Why are we using kale for everything?
Kale is used for everything. You're exactly right.
Why?
It's pretty cheap.
What happened?
I think at a certain
point. It's because it's grass.
Yeah,
it's lawn.
Grass. So what?
It's
so
lawn,
is lettuce.
It's lawn-labeled kale.
So is spinach. So is lettuce. There's a greens. You know there's a greens section in the
I
grocery store.
I spend a lot of time outdoors.
Well, I don't know that number.
A lot of time outdoors on golf courses. I've never felt the urge to drop to the ground and eat.
And munch on the green.
You really simplified this eating vegetables, haven't you?
I'm eating my yogurt now. Should I put some kale on it?
No, that's just bacteria. Enjoy
I'm
that.
Mary, you'll find...
That's
I'm
just fungus. You're fine.
I'm a trendy eater.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm now into overnight oats. I make the... since I've been doing stuff on the show, I will make the oatmeal and with all the... put it in the fridge, and then in the morning, it's ready. It, like, seeps itself. It's the greatest thing ever.
Christ on a bus.
Check it out, guys. Oprah's got a ton of recipes.
I thought kale was the greatest thing ever.
Kale's
wait a minute.
Second greatest.
There's a great kid... There's a great kid standing by right now to save us. Let's do it.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Every week it's Kid of the Week. Let us know about a kid you know and you think we ought to know. WGNradio.com, search Kid of the Week, and you're good to go. Every week we honor a kid of the week for doing something special, something worthy of recognition. And this week it's Ava. Good morning, Ava.
Good morning.
Ava Pratt, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
Do you have a job?
No.
Do you do chores around the house?
Yeah, sometimes.
What chores do you do?
I sweep the kitchen.
Oh, that's nice. That's not bad. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have one brother.
Does he help?
His name's Tatum.
Does he help with the chores?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he do more than you do because you're cute and you don't have to work as hard?
Yeah, he does more than me.
Okay. As long as honesty gets you far ways. Tell me about your hair. What did you do to your hair?
I cut it short for kids with cancer because I had like really long hair, so then I cut it down to like my shoulders.
And this is locks of love, and you've been growing your hair for a long time. Hair's a big deal to a girl.
Yeah.
And you said, I want to help, and you got your hair chopped off. So locks of love takes this hair, and they make human hair wigs, I should say, for kids who have lost their hair because of cancer treatment.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing you did. And do you miss your hair?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Well, you'll be able to grow that back soon, but what are you going to do next for charity, do you know?
I don't know yet.
But you like helping?
Yeah.
Andrea, say hi to Ava.
Ava, good
Ava's
morning.
10.
We love you, Ava. And tell the story about when you were collecting for leukemia, what you did with your piggy bank.
I dumped out all my money from my piggy bank to donate it to kids with cancer.
Ava said she would rather save a life than buy what she was saving for.
That's nice. It's very nice. It's very, very nice. On Saturday, May 19th, just this past weekend, she walked a 6K for World Vision Global 6K for water, helping her church get clean water to kids around the world. So that's another nice thing you're doing. Who's the family member that got you into all this? Is it mom, grandmother? Who else?
My mom.
Very nice. Justin, you want to operate your own 10-year-old, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I own and operate a 10-year-old. Hi, Ava. I have a question for you. Just with all the things, whether it's your hair or doing the walk for water or even the piggy bank for cancer, why do you do these things? What is it about giving back or giving that interests you? Why as a 10-year-old do you do these kind of things?
'Cause I really love to help. And I had a friend that died with cancer last year.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, kiddo. That's very sad, but you're doing a wonderful thing in memory of that person whose name was or is?
Ava. Her name was Ava, too.
Well, that's very special. Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A singer.
Who's your favorite singer right now?
I love Katy Perry.
Oh, that's awesome.
You got a favorite Katy Perry song?
I like Swish Swish Bish.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's a good one.
That's a karaoke favorite of mine, Ava.
Do you want to sing it right now for us, Ava?
No, thanks.
Because you're a professional and, you know, you're not working right now. How about Roar? Do you like Roar?
Wait, what?
Roar? Do you like Roar?
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's an anthem.
I love that. Ava, what were you...
I want to hear you roar! What do you think of that, Ava?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, right. Poor thing.
She'd be uncharitable again, right there.
Ava, what were you saving for? We want to know what you were saving for that you gave the money to leukemia instead of buying what you wanted.
I was saving for... I was really literally saving all this money for cancer.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Well, you're a great kid. And for being on the show, we're going to give you... You like pizza?
Yep, I love pizza.
You like kale?
Just say no, say no, say no.
No.
Good girl. Good girl.
Say yes. Ava can make up her own mind about
it. Do you
that.
Like to eat vegetables, Ava?
I love eating vegetables.
All right, that's good. But kale, you know what kale is, Ava? It's lawn.
It's not lawn.
No.
Yeah, you don't want to eat your lawn, do you?
No.
No, of course not.
Katy Perry eats kale, Ava.
Actually, she doesn't. She told me.
Ava's like, what are you guys talking about?
Exactly. You know what? The whole audience has been asking that since 6. LouMelnatis.com and ABT.com are both the sponsors kicking in prizes here for Ava. You get an app gift card as well. You can go there and buy something cool. Ava, you're a great kid. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
There you go. What a sweet kid. What a nice kid. Hey, Justin, you know, you haven't been around us very long. You should know that the whole point of Kid of the Week is to remind us how lame our own children are.
Yeah. Well, that was the one question I refrained from asking, which is, how much huffing and puffing do you do when you sweep the kitchen, Ava?
Because
that's
a lot.
Right. She probably would say none.
The drama. Yeah.
She probably does it willingly. She's good.
Can you empty the dishwasher?
Right. It's all very dramatic. Did you get an allowance when you were a kid?
I did, yeah. I don't think that it was... I don't think I ever gave it to anybody but the village market for baseball cards.
And
so Ava's already got one on me.
How much was your allowance?
It's hard for me to remember, but it was in cents. It was either cents or $1. It wasn't something that was big.
And be paid you how often?
Once a week, maybe once a month. I feel like with my son, there's been allowance starting, and my wife never got allowance, so she doesn't understand it. So the money was like almost getting what you would get to work at McDonald's.
I got an allowance, but I had to do, you know, like I would get an allowance. I think it was same thing, maybe $1, $2, $3 a week, but I would have to empty the wastebaskets, vacuum. I would have to do things. And then when I got to high school, I got an allowance, but it was to buy lunch. You know, it wasn't anything big because I would spend $1 a day. Yeah. I'd get nachos
and
chocolate milk with my allowance.
Yeah, I got, I think I started at a quarter and then I got a raise to 50 cents a week,
which was a lot of money in the 30s.
I remember the.
Wow.
It's just one of those mornings.
Circa before depression.
Steve, did you get an allowance?
I got no allowance. I had to do chores, otherwise, I would be grounded or spanked. That was my...
Wow.
So there was no money involved at all.
Life at the Audi home was tough. Right.
Super Joe, did you get an allowance?
No, I just stole money from people that...
at the house? Okay.
In his mom's purse.
There are too many of us in our family to get an allowance. My parents be broke.
That's true in your house. Sandberg?
Yeah, she got an allowance too.
What'd she get?
$50 a day.
To go with her to help feed the pony.
My dad never made more than $25,000 a year. Never. That was the high watermark. $25,000 a year, and I got $5 every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
That's pretty good.
That's nice.
It's $250
that
is a week.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
good.
What did you do?
But no dental. I mean, it was just, you know, I got a nice, it was a nice.
Okay,
know,
but
general,
speaking of dental, right. did you, when you left a tooth under your pillow, mm-hmm. did the tooth fairy come and leave you something?
Yeah.
We got like a quarter.
Yeah, I got a quarter.
You know, back then, money could buy so much. I mean, gum was like a penny, you know. Piece of candy was 5 cents.
Well, in the 70s, you could buy a house for $5.
The best thing I got is when I turned 16, I got access to the gas card. And I would go to the gas station and get gas, and I would charge Cheetos.
No.
Pop, for snacks for my friends. And so then my dad started just pumping my gas for me. He'd take my car to do it.
Because it's cheaper.
I think it was cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad was super into discipline, so it was how like financial discipline, which didn't really stick. But the idea that even when the old hand-me-down car, like when I turned 16, I had to pay in. So I had to pay every week. I had to pay $20 for it. So I was essentially paying a note on it. And when it was done, you know, I got this car, this 1986 Dodge Colt. And I was like, yes.
What a cool scam your father was running, though.
But the best part, though, I'll give him a ton of parenting credit. When I was 30 years old, he gave me the money back in lump sum.
No kidding.
Right, isn't that cool?
See, what that a good
is
dude.
Cool. That is a good dude. I was like, now it puts so much pressure on me. I'm not going
to
do that.
So he must have put it all in a side account.
He did, yeah.
I had to pay rent to my mom when I graduated. To college, I lived at home for a year because I wasn't making any money, and I had to pay rent. And people said, "Don't worry, they're going to give that back to you when you move out as a present." I'm still waiting for that. 30 years later, I'm still waiting for that check.
Huh? I'm leaving. Does anyone have a gift?
Something for me?
No, there was no payback.
No payback.
No payback.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girl.
Four tickets to Bike the Drive. Justin, you've done this. Andre, you're doing it again. Are you doing it again?
No, I'm going to be in New York this weekend.
Okay, you're doing it on Sunday.
Yes.
It's cool. It's sort of eerie, right? That there's nothing on Lakeshore Drive but you.
That's a great way to describe it. It's so
cool.
Peaceful and quiet because it's just there's no cars on it, just the bikes.
I just think it's one of the great. Events Chicago does in the summer. Kicks off summer. In my mind, obviously, it's Memorial Day, but it's pretty great to have that road to yourself.
And it's not a race. You can take a nice leisurely stroll.
Oh, yeah.
5 hours of car-free riding your bike on a Lakeshore Drive, plus a fun-filled post-ride festival. Sign up today. Get $5 off with the code MBSAVE5. That's the number 5, MBSAVE5, at MBBikeTheDrive.org. I have four complimentary You Get In situations at 312-981-7200. Super Joe, what number caller are we doing here?
720.
720. Are you answering the phones or is Sandberg?
Sandberg.
Okay. Caller 720 or 7, either one. First in is going to get these four passes for MB Bike the Drive. Speaking of things like distance, 5K is 3.1 miles. I said it was 2.2, which means a 1K is 0.6 miles, a little over half a mile.
And still, she did good.
She did good.
She finished.
Still grueling, whichever way you look at it.
Plus it's wet out. 0.06. It's foggy.
Yeah. We're speaking of Robin Baumgarten's historic 1K this morning on Channel 9. More corrective help from the listeners on the text line at 312-981-7200. Whales eat krill, not kale. Steve, how do you not know about krill?
Come on. I know, but I thought they eat kale, too. Maybe it's some other fish.
Yeah, where would they eat kale? Is it growing kale
in the ocean?
Whole Foods. Six Rio, Steve, try kale chips with sea salt.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, they're very good.
I've actually tried those. Those are awful.
They get the sea salt from the sea where the whales eat it.
I would rather eat cooked kale than kale chips.
Cooked kale is good.
Let's see here. Kale is high. This is 6-3-0. Kale is high in vitamin K, which promotes blood clotting. Let me know how healthy it is after a pulmonary embolism. I had my PE. My doctors told me stay away from it.
All right. Whatever.
Well, whatever. I've had three PEs.
That is true.
Because of kale?
Kale could kill me.
If you're on Coumadin, if you're on Coumadin or a blood thinner, you're not supposed to have leafy greens.
Right. That's what Big O has always told us.
My heredity will not allow me to eat kale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you have a built-in reason not to do it.
That was close. Let's see. 815. I didn't get an allowance. I cut grass and sold it as kale.
We might have done business.
And 708, did I hear Dave Bennett say he'd get spanked, LOL? No, that was you,
no,
Steve, wasn't
no.
it?
No,
Chris Anish, yeah.
Steve, apparently it's not funny when Steve gets spanked, but it's funny when you do.
Yeah, why would that be funny?
Let's see, and 630, I used to borrow money from my dad. He used to keep a $100 panda drawer. When I went to borrow asking for more, there was nothing in it. He's sitting at the table reading the paper. I came running down the stairs, said, Dad, there's nothing there. And he said to me, guess you didn't pay it back. After that was that. I don't know what all that means.
Well, it was a fantastic story.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the
great story.
Texter for going over 140 characters.
But listen, they had $100 in the drawer, and the guy and the dad kept it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
That's
312-981-7200.
Life lessons.
Yeah, okay. Right. Here's what we'll do. We'll come back with your news next on 720 WGN.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. It's Dr. Kevin Morse, normally with us on Monday mornings, but he was traveling yesterday. Where are you coming back from, my friend?
I was coming back from Asheville, North Carolina.
How are things in Asheville, North Carolina?
Yeah, I've never been there. It's a beautiful place. Great part of the state. Hilly, beautiful, up in the mountains. The Biltmore Estate is unbelievable. But more importantly, I went to a great conference with some really good speakers. So it's nice when you go to a conference and there's quality speakers there, and it was fun. So.
What's the lamest speech you ever saw at a medical conference?
Oh, God, I'll tell you, there's some where the speaker just really just sits up there and reads his slides, and it can just be so boring. It's like I could have read this at home, you know. So presentation skills really come across for us and really kind of.
And now we will look at the esophagus. That kind of thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, good times. Doc told me a great story a while back about continuing education. And at one point having to walk away from a continuing education seminar because the seminar, which was sold to be a continuing education seminar for doctors have to do this every year, was a AV cart in a strip mall with a videotape that you were asked to put in the machine and sign up on a clipboard.
Yeah.
Good times, huh?
How about that?
That's why Doc is good. He actually left that room and said, this won't count.
Yeah, you don't get credit for that?
No, so, no credit.
No, that's a bummer.
All right, so let's talk about concussions. We meant to do this a couple of weeks back. You know, we're getting into the summer season now. Baseball, obviously, there's concern about getting hit by a pitch. It won't be long. Kids will be in football camp again. Soccer, all of that. You know, it's not just kids. It's adults as well. But kids and concussions, are you worried?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. The Dave Duerson bill, one of our representatives tried to put forward a bill to limit tackle football in Illinois. Four states are looking at it right now. And they came back and said, you know what, there really is no data that says that we should even consider this. So that was back in, I don't know, earlier in the year. The House Bill 4341, it passed through the Health Committee, and now it's been referred to the Rules Committee. But now what is interesting is a study that just came out of the Annals of Neurology, which is a highly reputable journal, that talks about the impact of kids who play under the age of 12. And that's probably, hopefully they'll take that into consideration.
Explain a concussion. Is it a brain bruise?
Yeah, essentially it's a brain bruise. And, you know, everyone's probably had one or had someone that they know has had one or has come close to having one. And essentially, we have to remember, our brain is held in our skull and there's not a lot of movement that it can make. So it's essentially a brain bruise. So what everybody remembers the Boston College, University of Boston, where they 211 football players donated their brains after they died because of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. What they did is those individuals, those guys doing the study now, called back to the families and said, tell me when your individual started playing football and tell me when they started having symptoms, which is fascinating that they started to go back instead of what is just going on in the brain now. And what they found is that those who played football before the age of 12 had an average onset of symptoms 13 years earlier than those who did not play football.
I think that's what is confusing. It certainly confuses me about how, you know, I could be in the NFL, sustain whatever injuries I've sustained, and then 10 years later, 20 years later, the damage kicks in. Is it the aging of the brain combined with the damage that was done?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a lot of it's a cumulative damage. And they're not exactly sure why, but their presumption is that as we have trauma to the brain, we get inflammation, just like we do with a muscle or anywhere else. And then with that inflammation, the body tries to start to heal. And what they're afraid is that they're putting down this amyloid protein, which is then leading to early onset dementia and some aggressive nature in individuals.
So is there a way to stop that damage? So in other words, if a kid starts playing peewee football, say, and then there is a little bit of damage and then stops by a certain age, will it regrow or will it kind of fix itself? Or once the damage is there, that's it?
See, that's the million-dollar question, because how do you do that study? So what they've done is they've looked at individuals who have played football early and then continue to play football, because that's who's had their brains donated. The ones that they can't really do is say, tell me about that kid who played football early and then stopped playing football. What about him? The other thing is these studies take decades. So, you know, when we talked about, you know, the All of Us study that's going to be started here, studies like that are going to allow us to watch things over decades instead of, if you take this drug today, tell me how you feel tomorrow.
We'll come back with more, Doc, in a second. Justin has questions, some of them about this topic. Sandberg's got questions. Dave's got questions. Super Joe doesn't have any questions because he's running the show. This is all sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let me down. That steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruised through a lot of good times and rolled out the bad. It'll never see a for sale sign as long as I'm around. Your friends may come and friends may go, but that Chevy don't let me down.
It's Centennial Blue. It's a cool color. You know, Sandberg's going to get to drive this?
Really?
She whined enough yesterday. She's almost going to toss her the keys.
Well, she's excited.
I think they're going to let me do some mom stuff in it, like Hal Patrick's hockey gear around.
Right.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, Tabitha, who, what's her big shot title? She runs her promotions
Director
department.
Director of marketing.
She's about 5'2 on a good day, and she was a little nervous about driving it because, you know, tiny people in big trucks, right? But now I think she's cocky. Now, you know, you get one taste behind the wheel of the Centennial Blue Chevy, and you're going to want it too. So how do people enter?
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know? You go straight to the online.
WGNradio.com.
Yes.
WGNradio.com. On the contest page, you have all your details. And ChevyDriveChicago.com has a link for details as well. And we want you to enter. We want you to win. And then take the truck back from Sandberg.
That's pretty great. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take Patrick to hockey. I'm going to take Catherine and her friends to a band thing. I might just cruise around myself. And when the person wins, I might cruise around with the winner as well. So,
if you want me to use,
whether
I can
or not
use
the
it,
winner wants you to,
yeah,
right?
I can use it and I can double park and take it to get coffee and take it back and double park. There's a lot of different things I can do.
I'd be up for
it. Yeah,
coffee.
So if we whine loud enough, we get to drive it too.
We got to double park it all over Kevin downtown. Dr. Kevin Most standing by, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Hey, Doc, I got to ask you something, not related generally to the concussion story, but related to football. Brett Favre, just in an interview, said yesterday that he had substance abuse issues to the point of doing rehab on multiple occasions. I think he admitted to 3 during the course of his career. I don't know that we were aware of that.
We weren't. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad he has come out to share this. You know, we know we've talked about the opioid problems that we have about in this country. We've talked about alcohol abuse in this country. You know, we need people like him to come out and say, hey, you know what? I had this problem. I went and sought help and I failed, but I went back and sought help. And, you know, now I have beat this addiction. It's ridiculous when we look at and we see the number of people, you know, 50,000 people dying of opioid addiction, you know, every year in this country, you know, close to 200 people a day. It's very sad, and it's something that we need to get our arms around. And sometimes it takes a celebrity to say, hey, go out there and fight the addiction.
Exactly right. All right, let me go around the room here and get your concussion questions in, Dave.
Well, I just want to add one thing on Favre.
Make it
quick. He said once he took 14 Vicodin at once.
How is he alive?
That's my question. I mean, wouldn't that kill you?
That is amazing. Absolutely.
It was he a horse?
So he either had this high tolerance. I'm not even sure, because when you hear those are the numbers, even lower than those numbers, people stop breathing and die unless they have Narcan there. So that blew me away when I saw that.
Wow. Concussion question.
Okay, do you believe, Doc, because a lot of people are wrestling with this, can they make the game safer? I know they can't take, and I guess we're talking football here, but I guess this would apply to any sport, but football specifically, can they make it safer so that you can say, okay, it's okay for my kid to play?
Yeah, and Dave, you know, we've talked about the equipment that they have now, that they can identify concussions earlier. You know, some of the helmets now will change colors, some of the monitors they wear with mouth guards. When you get the kids, and you know from Northwestern, you get the kids as big as they are, running as fast as they can, you cannot slow down that impact that's not going to cause it unless you change the rules of the game dramatically. Look what they do for soccer. No heading the ball until after a certain age. In hockey, no checking until after a certain age. That's in the younger group. But as you get to the olders with the high school and college and professional, you take guys that big with that much muscle mass, I'm not sure you can make the equipment good enough to protect them.
So where's the balance between the inherent risk and in sports?
Yeah, that's a tough question, you know, and again, it's kind of trying to do these studies, because the VA did a study that showed that even minor concussions increase your incidence of dementia at a much earlier age. It's things that we never knew in the past that we're starting to do more and more studies on brain injuries.
Doc, Justin Kaufman here. I'm interested, really, when it comes down to when we go back to the political situation in Springfield, where the bill did not have enough interest from lawmakers and that there weren't enough votes to get something passed that would make tackle football legal for kids under 12. Are we at a point where this is more of an awareness campaign where more and more parents need to know this, so it's not this idea of, well, I used to play when I was 10, or my grandparents used to play when this is just the nanny state taking over? These concepts that this is actually a health crisis that we should be paying attention to, even if we did it differently when we were younger.
Absolutely. You know, we can either look at it, let's legislate it, or let's educate. And if we can't legislate, then let's educate. And when you look at now, look at high schools right now, you're starting to see big high school. Wheaton-Warrenville South out here used to have, you know, five, six, you know, I don't know, three freshman teams, if I'm not mistaken. And now, much less, because people are being educated in that. It's interesting, as a parent, I think you'd want to do everything that you could to protect your child's livelihood and life in the future. And just be educated as far as what the impact of this is and what studies are showing now, and make a decision. It's very difficult, but you, like you said, you don't want to be that helicopter mom or that nanny mom, and you want to make sure the kids learn how to act as a team player and learn other things, but we may have to readdress this.
It's Dr. Kevin Most at Northwestern. Thanks. Sounds like you're fighting the allergies today.
I am. I don't know whether it's because I was in North Carolina and just got back or what, but yeah, I am congested again today.
Was there a comfort monkey on the plane? Did you hear about the monkey?
I heard the monkey as I was driving in, but it was like you're pushing it towards Dave Ennett, and I didn't think as...
Well, don't you believe, Doc, that all monkeys deserve a name?
Oh, yes, they all do.
Right? That's what, that was my point.
This is the issue Dave's running on. Set center in his platform.
Yeah.
Feel better, bud. Thanks.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Again, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We're going to come back with the headlines in just a moment. Orion Samuelson joins us early today not early for him, but earlier than normal. How about that? To talk a little ag. And Dean later. Mac McAnally from the Jimmy Buffett Coral Reefer Band. And Mac McAnally, one of the great songwriters, period, is going to be in. Oh, and that's right. Helio Castroneves, Mr. Cute. Mr. Pretty.
Already writing up my questions.
Oh, yeah. Like, huh? What are you doing later? Is that one of your questions?
Yeah.
7:33. Headlines next. 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
7:44 now. 312-981-7200. The number. You can call me anytime. Call me at home. Orion Samuelson joins us. Hi, buddy.
Good morning.
Great to see you.
Good to see you this week or last week at the WGN Walk of Fame, Dave. It was a brief meeting, but it was good to see you.
Yeah, looking handsome as ever. And your hair coiffed perfectly. Did you know your hair had been coiffed?
No, but Gloria does a pretty good job of that when it's needed. So
all right, couple of questions.
Yeah.
The trade war with China seems to be at least on hold. What does that mean for the farms?
Well, I think it means a great deal. We saw yesterday an immediate response at the Board of Trade here in Chicago. Soybeans, the nearby contract, up 24 cents a bushel, 10.25 and a quarter. That's a big jump in one day, and they blamed it or gave credit all to the U.S.-China trade truce. And the one commodity that did not react, however, it surprised me a little bit, we export a lot of pork to China. China is far and away the biggest hog producer in the world, but they're also the biggest importer of pork in the world. But our futures in August hogs yesterday dropped $1.12 a hundredweight. So that's the downside. Soybeans, the upside. And sorghum growers, I think, are pleased about it because they're exports to China had been put on hold by the Chinese government, and they have been lifted. So,
you know what sorghum is, Andrea?
I do not.
Sorghum is what you put on your gums when they're sore. Sorghum.
Makes sense, right?
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's what sorghum's for.
I never knew that.
Andrea, say hi to
Orion. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Bill aimed at breaking up food deserts in Chicago and other cities passed about a week and a half ago with Sonia Harper's bill. This will establish urban agriculture zones in different areas, specifically perhaps some economically challenged areas, so-called food deserts. What are your thoughts on the urban gardens and these community gardens that seem to be popping up everywhere, Big O?
Well, they seem to be popping up, and I think it's great. It, first of all, educates city people on what it will take to produce a carrot or a bean or any other vegetable. So from the standpoint of knowledge, I think it's great. From the standpoint of feeding a lot of other people, I'm not so sure that it's going to make that big a change. But anything that happens to educate and feed at the same time, I think is a good thing. But you know me. I think farming should be relegated to the rural areas. And for example, I'm totally against chickens in the city. I think it's crazy. I remember the years when at Easter time, dime stores and other stores would give away or sell baby chicks. And I just knew that in 6 months or so, I would start getting calls saying, "These things grew up. What do I do with them now?"
Right, right, right.
And that happens all the time. So I'm not in favor of that, but anything that educates people and feeds them a little bit better, I'd like.
Yep.
Orion, say hi to Justin Coffey.
Hey, Orion. How are you, bud?
Hello, Justin. I'm fine. Thank you.
I have a question about right now they're in the process of writing the farm bill, new farm bill, and I just was paying attention to how, you know, last time this process went is a couple decades ago, and you just had this concept of more money and more income that were coming into farmers as they hit decade low income rates. The question will be whether or not the government will raise the subsidies or raise payments out to farmers as they have in the past. There are a lot of economists.
So are they covering the losses?
Yeah, but a lot of economists say that's not going to happen this time around. Is that something that the farm community, the ag community, is expecting from the government? Or are they already expecting that there's not going to be an increase?
Well, we write a farm bill every 5 years. And in the last farm bill that we wrote, they totally changed the way farmers get compensated for floods and hurricanes and everything else. They established crop insurance. The federal government does help financially on the premium cost, but farmers also pay part of the premium cost of farm insurance. And the thing I like about it, and hope that it is part of the farm bill that they're currently writing, is the fact it takes a lot of the uncertainty away, and it takes the need to go to Congress and say, "We just had a tornado that ripped up thousands of acres, and now we need some help." This way, it's pretty much covered in crop insurance, and I'll say that farmers do buy crop insurance. So it's changed a lot in the last farm bill. And the Chicago Tribune, for example, has always editorialized against crop insurance. They call it a federal boondoggle in payment to farmers. But it really isn't. It gives farmers skin in the game.
Yeah, right.
So, and I think that's important.
That's the thing I never understood. If you're a farmer, you have to bet. You have to bet every year. It's a huge gamble.
Every year, every day.
Every year, it's a huge gamble every spring. Here's how we're going to wager going forward. The country doesn't eat without farmers. Why shouldn't the government be in that game with the farmers? Of course they should.
I agree.
Well, that's why you and I are in charge.
Well, let's run for office. You can be president. I'll be vice president.
Can you imagine how intimidated I would be if Orion were following me around, just waiting for me to have a cough? He's over. Pull him.
We need the all clear, though, from Gloria. I don't know if she'd give either of you that.
That's fair.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Bye-o. That's Big O, Walk of Famer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The great Marianne Ahern from NBC 5 Man, there's nobody better. And she has a story about Kelly Cassidy, State Rep Kelly Cassidy on NBC 5, which you can see on our website. Of course, you should be watching the news. It's good for you. And Marianne joins us now. All right, let's start with this. Other than good morning, who is Kelly Cassidy?
Well, good morning to you. She's a state rep from the north side, Rogers Park, Edgewater area. Outspoken, very liberal, very willing to speak out when she sees something that needs to say something about when others won't. And in this case, it was the sex harassment.
So she brings up her expressed desire that the speaker and other leadership in Springfield ought to get out in front of this issue. What happens then?
Right. She is probably the only one. Others might have spoken if they were confronted, but she literally did sit down, do interviews with us, with others, to say there needs to be a truly independent panel, not a panel chosen by Speaker Madigan. And they need to look at what all of these complaints mean and move from there. Because she did speak out within days, she has a part-time job as well for the sheriff. She's on a social justice initiative. Got the job a couple of years ago when the lawmakers' paychecks were all on hold. She has several children. She had looked for a job. She was able to get this. Is this a political job? Absolutely. Part-time job, made about $20,000, $30,000 a year. Anyway, within days of speaking out, the speaker's chief of staff, Tim Mapes, called her boss at the sheriff's office and said, does Kelly Cassidy still work there? They told her that, so she knew. Then fast forward, she tries to get a meeting with the speaker in the last couple of weeks on a pending bill. And in the past, any member that asked to speak, any Democratic member who asked to speak with the speaker, gets a meeting. No word back. Silence. Then this past week, she was told by, and it's kind of interesting, it gets a little convoluted, but Representative Rita, one of the strongest allies of Speaker Madigan, hey, why don't you support Sheriff Dart's bill? Can't believe you don't support the bill. What's going on there? She makes a call back to her boss at the sheriff's office and says, yeah, he's been calling and saying, if you don't support his bill, why are you still working there?
So
she knew it was a problem, and she resigned before she was fired.
So if you back this all up, it sounds like the speaker used his authority and his organization to not only ice Kelly Cassidy out, but have her lose this significant income in her life and a job she was apparently doing a good job for, because simply she wanted somebody to take a stand and Speaker Madigan to take some responsibility.
Absolutely. And she called it retribution from the beginning. She said it's absolutely.
And she's a Democrat.
She is a Democrat. And, you know, quite willing to even, you know, to say this now with 2 weeks to go is amazing, you know. But she said, what am I supposed to go down to Springfield and act as if this didn't happen?
Right.
And continue to get abused? No, it is time to speak up and say something. This is not right.
Marianne, it's a fantastic story. You did such a nice job with it. I think it's abhorrent, and I'm sure you do too as a female and a journalist, that the retaliation that she faced. I guess my question to you is, what is she going to do now? I mean, hopefully she's not going to resign and then just go away. And who can she go to? Would she have to go to the governor now at this point?
Well, as now the speaker's spokesman, who only would say to me, oh, this is the first I've heard of this. I said, actually, really, that's your response? I said, yeah, that's my response. he's told others now, I see, that there is a process she could follow to file a complaint. What's also interesting about all this, the so-called independent panel, who they can't figure out who's on it because Congresswoman Busto said, you know what, this isn't going to work, somebody else, you know, they're trying to, they have yet to have one meeting.
What are they waiting for? What are they waiting for? This is the closest thing, allegedly, to an HR department in Springfield. It's never been more relevant, never been more urgent, and they're just hoping it goes away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Marianne, Justin here. I'm interested because it's really a two-part story, one about intimidation and of course, retaliation. But it's also about what her role was with the sheriff's office. And there seems to be a countering from Sheriff Dart saying, you know, that we had philosophical differences about this bill, the bill about the inmates and being punished for the things that they do to female lawyers and people who come through the state. But it seemed to be that they wanted her to be on the same page because that's what her job was, to be in Springfield. She wasn't. And that's the reason that she resigned.
Absolutely. And there is a part to that, Justin, you're right. And she does work for the sheriff. But the sheriff knows Kelly Cassidy and her views. These are not surprising views for anyone. She is someone who would represent, perhaps, the inmates. She did not say absolutely no to a bill, any kind of changes on the bill. She just didn't. She doesn't agree with the sex offender registry. She thinks that that is not helpful and has never been for it. So any of this is not necessarily surprising. They knew what they got when they asked her to do it, which she got this job.
And since when is a piece of legislation not discussed to death before it's put forward without intimidation, threats, or retaliation? I mean, come on.
Right, right. She's willing to discuss it. She's willing to, you know, let's work on it. She just doesn't agree with it in its current form. And for Bob Rita, the other part of this is so crazy is that, you know, Bob Rita faced his own allegations. They resurfaced. They were from 20-some years ago of domestic abuse. He was found not guilty. It resurfaced in the primary this year with the woman who had come forward raising questions about the case. He, of course, was reelected handily, and now he's the one that takes this bill and is now at says to her, what are you doing? Why aren't you supporting your boss? All of it is really crazy. I mean, it is just like right out of a, you know, a Netflix mob boss.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, and honestly, Speaker Madigan at this point seems to be taking on the character. Remember that New York crime boss who used to wander around in pajamas and pretend he was, you know, losing it? Because it seems like his character has changed now, where somebody like you, who gets close enough to him to ask him a question, will just go, oh, yeah, I haven't had time to look into that. Like, he's the sweet old man around the corner. I mean, he's not kidding anybody.
It's also frustrating, too, because everybody is encouraging women to come forward and say, hey, stand up for yourself. And this sounds like it's exactly what she did, right, Marianne?
Absolutely. All she said was it's time to have an independent panel. Let's let outsiders look in. And yet she was the only woman, really, and the only Democrat. Maybe a couple of others, as I mentioned, if we, you know, stopped them and asked. But she was the only one willing to put out a statement and call for this independent panel. And look what happens. No wonder no one wants to say anything. You know, even Senator Heather Staines, they're quite close. They have the same district. She did. We spoke with her as well. But all she would say is, yes, Kelly has told me all of this every step of the way. She wouldn't go much further than that to say that the speaker, she's also not in the House. But, you know, she was careful in how far she went in her criticism.
Yeah, and the women of Springfield have some answering to do to this, because you can't fight this fight unless you're in this fight. And to allow one woman to take all the heat for this is fairly reprehensible.
Right. And I think they would say the women and the men, but you're right. I mean,
I agree. The men should be a part of it too, but I don't expect good things from the men in this story. It's just a sad twist of all of it. So what happens now?
Well, I think the final 2 weeks are going to be quite tense. You know, they're looking to have this budget by May 31st. What does this kind of, you know, side distraction, they might call it, what's that going to play out as this continues? And where once they end their session, if they happen to end it on May 31st, which, you know, don't hold your breath, you know, where does this all go? Do they then say, oh, okay, now we're ready. Let's have those meetings that we haven't had yet. They've got a lot. It's a tough climb. They've got the election in November. And, boy, I wish I had some rose-colored glasses, but it doesn't look good.
And this is why turnout is so vitally important, people. And I'm going to be nagging you to death all summer long. Won't that be fun? Marianne, great reporting as always, but that's the only kind of reporting you do. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
NBC5Chicago.com. Marianne Ahern. I mean, there's nobody better than her.
Yeah, she's the great. Best. Love
Come on.
Marianne.
To love Marianne Ahern looking at the speaker, Steve Brown, those guys go, really?
Right.
Or when what you're going to say.
Or when he said, this is the first I've heard of it.
Right.
Come on, you're telling Marianne that?
Yeah, please. back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
And let's get Dean on the radio here. Thank God Robin Baumgarten's alive, Dean.
Boy, you're not kidding. It was scary this morning.
Robin Baumgarten ran her 1K this morning.
Yeah, a lot of people do, you know, full marathon, half marathon, maybe a 5K. Robin, famous for never getting off her couch at home. Today did a 1K, sort of.
0.6 miles.
0.6 miles, but there...
Now, we should say she ran most of the way.
Yeah, she did run. She did run, but they also had one rest stop that Budweiser had set up along the way, because you got to stay hydrated, Steve, during these kinds of things.
And the McDonald's by Channel 9, she stopped there.
She stopped and had a quarter pounder, or not a quarter pounder, Egg McMuffin.
But to her credit, she was still jogging in place as she was sipping the juice.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which
spilled
is kind of
a lot
nice
of
touch.
It. Spilled
yes.
a lot of the juice.
Did she set any kind of record? I don't think there is a world record for the 1K. She probably has the world record.
Well, that's probably true. It was an amazing morning.
Yeah.
An amazing morning.
I got to say, watching it on the monitors here, I got a little teary-eyed.
Yeah. I didn't
But there's that, you know, it could be the pollen count.
It's not our first moment of athletic prowess here on the TV morning show. As you may remember, Steve, about 5-7 years ago, something like that, I was involved in a relay race.
Oh.
And
you almost died.
And if you may recall, I lost my balance, tripped, tumbled completely over myself. And actually tore my hamstring.
I do remember that. It wasn't funny at all.
So,
and I'm not laughing.
It was pretty funny.
It's only funny after you heal. And then it's hilarious.
How's the hamstring now, Dean?
Hamstring's fine now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, hamstring's fine now.
Will you ever dance again?
You'll find out if you ever ask.
But yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you this. I don't know why I would ever tell you this. When I, you know, when you tear your hamstring, that's like... You know, there's bleeding inside.
Sure.
The muscle is torn.
Yep.
And I had bruising literally from in my toes all the way up my leg.
Yep.
My hamstring into my left buttocks cheek.
Yeah.
The doctor was bringing other doctors into the room.
Take a look at this guy.
Because they had never seen bruising like that before.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
But Robin did not hurt herself. So
how many days will she need to recover? Is she off for the rest of the week?
Well, she's back on the air right now.
Oh, goodness.
But I'm sure she'll take the rest of the week off.
Well, she's a real athletic inspiration to the rest of us.
She's a little smarter like I was, and you get an injury, and then you get several days off afterwards.
Bruise your fanny. All right, here's what's coming up. We come back. R. Kelly's in the news. Jake Gyllenhaal's in the news. Spider-Man's in the news. Ariana Grande, the Obama's big Netflix deal. Hugh Grant getting married for the first time. Holy cow, Dean's got a lot to talk about.
What?
And special guest coming up in studio, Mac McAnally, who is the best musician in studio right now because, well, the rest of us suck. and that's because he is really, really good from not just Mac's work, but from Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band. All right, so we'll come back to all that.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 Dean Richards.
8:25. No White Sox. Let's twist this. Whenever there's a White Sox game, no show for Justin, so we drag him in here.
And must be kicking really and screaming.
Convenient for him.
Yeah, just swings by.
His body clock is kind of late night.
That's why I eat so much kale.
Or do you just stay up all night?
I do get... It's
you can tell it's working out.
It's a little bit of that.
All right, Dean. R. Kelly sued for what?
Is being sued for sexual assault by a woman who claims that for about a year, he kept her pretty much captive in rooms and studios and cars, always locked up, always with an assistant to guard her to make sure she didn't run away. The woman, whose name is Faith Rogers, is claiming also that she caught herpes from him. They met at a concert about a year ago. He flew her to New York for a concert. And then after the concert, bombarded her, as she tells it, in her hotel room, forcibly forced himself on her in an abusive way, as she describes it in the documents. So this is one of the first legal actions against R. Kelly.
And she's purporting to be a hostage? She said she was basically kidnapped?
He kept her locked in rooms and studios and cars so she couldn't get away.
And there are similar stories about from other women that Jim DeRogatis has reported on. These stories are very similar.
But now it's in court.
But now it's getting to court.
Yeah, well, plenty of stories. This is the first time that a story like this, of which there are many, have actually gone to court.
The Jake Gyllenhaal story. This is a guy that's got a very successful movie career. Maybe he can get into one of them Marvel movies.
You know what? That's got to be, like the golden
ticket. I don't even know if Justin knows about the Marvels.
I don't.
You know what the Marvel movies?
Well, Marvel, yes. Yes, sorry. Yeah. I didn't know you were so French with the Marvel.
Oh, don't stop us on the
phone. Oh, no. Justin. Sorry.
Here we go.
What did I do?
You didn't know.
The Marvel.
What do you listen to at 8 o'clock every morning? They play
at the movie franchise. Jake Gyllenhaal he signed up to play the villain in the next Spider-Man movie, Steve. The villain's name is Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Obviously, they're running out of ideas.
Is he Greek, Dean?
Mysterio. Ryan Gosling was supposed to be up for the role, had another commitment, but I think Jake Gyllenhaal will be good in this. I like him in these.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Action-y movies. I like him. Yeah.
I like his sister, too. She's goofy.
I don't like her. I put her in the Julianne Moore category.
Yeah. What?
I don't like her. I just
you
don't
hate
know
her
why.
Too?
I don't know why.
Yeah. We don't know why either.
These are two of my favorite actors.
No explanation.
Actresses. Andre, I can't believe this.
I know, Dean, and I usually agree with all of your reviews.
Always. We're pretty much on the same track. But, I'm going to have to leave you for dead on these two.
Sorry, Dean.
Last we knew, there was a Weekend Update anchor dating a famous movie star, and we thought, well, could there be another famous couple off Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, Weekend Update, Colin Jost is pretty hot and heavy now with Scarlett Johansson. Mm-hmm. And the word leaked out yesterday that Ariana Grande is now dating Pete Davidson. The little skinny guy. I think he's hilariously funny.
It's funny. It's an interesting story, too. His dad
very
was
underrated.
His dad was killed on 9/11.
Right.
He's had some substance issues off and on that he beat back. So, we're obviously wanted to be
And happy. He also was dating Larry David's daughter.
Daughter, yeah. They,
that was
they
famous,
just broke
right.
up. They just broke up a couple of weeks ago.
Because of Ariana Grande, that hussy?
Apparently, Ariana Grande just ended her two-year relationship with Steve's favorite rapper, Mac Miller.
Yeah, Mac Miller.
Mac Miller
and I go to the Marvel movies.
Mac Miller, Marvel. Both of those two relationships broke up, and now Ariana Grande and little Pete Davidson.
How about that? You're listening to Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. The Obamas signed a Netflix deal.
Nice deal with the Netflix company. They're going to be making scripted and unscripted projects. Documentaries, feature films. That's really all we know now. We don't even know how much money was attached to all this, but it was a multi-year agreement and kind of interesting for a former president and first lady.
And Hugh Grant finally getting married. Why did I think he was married before? I guess because he's Hugh Grant. He's been around
forever.
He's dated
so many people through the years, maybe? Because he's been a serial dater?
That may be.
Well, he was engaged before, I'm being told. Was it Elizabeth Hurley? Boy, how do you screw up the Elizabeth Hurley thing?
Oof. That's the least of the things that he screwed up in his personal life.
And he's got like five kids, doesn't
five
he?
Kids, yeah. Five kids, three with his ex-girlfriend, Ting Lang Hong.
What? And,
that's the girlfriend.
That's the girlfriend.
Oh, I thought it was a condition that Dean had.
Oh, no,
that's
wait
not
a minute.
The one he married?
Ting Lang Hong was his two previous children. His
well, that's three. Now, Ting Lang and Hong.
Two. No. His current fiance is a Swedish TV producer, Anna Erberstein. And they already have three children together.
Oh, boy.
But they've decided to make it official.
Have you ever interviewed him?
Many times.
For an extended period. He's got like this edge. There's like a weird sort of bubbling.
He's quirky.
Well, there's kind of an anchor there. I don't know if he got caught in the, hey, I'm the sitcom guy. I'm the love story guy.
Rom-com
forever.
Guy. Yeah.
The rom-com. Because I've always gotten this vibe from him that he's a little angry.
I've noticed that that's changed with him over the last couple of years. I would have been 100% with you.
Okay.
Up until kind of recently, I talked to him. Oh, within the year, and he was extremely charming, extremely funny, extremely comfortable with me, you know, bringing up, you know,
stuff,
uncomfortable things, as I will sometimes do during conversations.
That's your move.
He can be an extremely charming person, but. Boy, what Steve is saying sure was the case during most of the time that I've been
interesting.
Past 10, 15 years.
Well, wouldn't you be angry if you picked up a hooker on Hollywood Boulevard and suddenly Elizabeth Hurley wasn't your girlfriend anymore? I mean, that's a bad night.
It could happen to anyone.
Have you seen Elizabeth Hurley?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley's 52, 53.
She looks fantastic.
She's wearing bikinis like she was 21 years old.
One of the funniest things that I ever remember is when she came into the studio with Spike Odell.
Oh, yeah, he lost it.
I have never seen him blubber like that.
Yeah, Spike was suddenly a 12-year-old boy that hadn't quite hit puberty yet.
Hilarious.
52. Yeah,
she's beautiful.
Fantastic. Yeah, she looks amazing.
She had the perfume going. Woo!
She was in the Amy Schumer movie.
Was she?
She is in the Amy Schumer
movie
that's out right now. I Feel Pretty. And is stunningly beautiful.
She was flirting with me hard last time she was on a show. You remember that?
Oh, totally.
Who said, hey, Elizabeth Hurley, my eyes are up here.
Right.
Remember?
You had to say back off a little bit.
What am I, a piece of meat? All right, so let's...
And she said yes.
She said yes, a rump roast.
And he said okay.
All right, so listen, Dean, that's fine work by you, and you're going to get something extra this week.
More than I usually do.
You betcha.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, give Robin a hug for us and tell her we're really moved by your accomplishment.
She's a little fragile right now and probably too sweaty for me to touch.
That's Dean. Headlines next. And then Mac McAnally in studio. He said he'll play a little guitar if we give him a dollar. He's a paid musician. We're not messing around. On 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. I wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
Be at Wrigley this summer. I'm sure you'll hear this.
Watch the men who rode you switch from sail to steam. And in your belly you can hold the treasures you have ever seen.
Andrea, Dave, and Justin most have all climbed on my shoulders. Now they're swaying back and forth with lighters asking for an encore. Well, Jimmy Buffett, Mac McAnally's here. Yes, when did you meet Jimmy?
Well,
Hold on, man. Let's try it again. When did you meet Jimmy?
We both started out as Mississippians. Jimmy's from Pascagoula, and I'm from the unfun end of the state, as he says, further from the saltwater. But he was to me, he represented somebody from my home state that did well, and. I'm the least likely guy to ever end up in show business, but somehow or other I got a record deal when I was like 19. And the fellow that gave me my first deal had given Jimmy his first deal at ABC Dunhill, and he sent Jimmy a copy of my first little batch of songs. And I didn't know anybody in show business and was just might as well have been on Mars. I'd never really been very far from my hometown. But Jimmy took the time to write me a little note and say that we're both storytellers and we're both Mississippians, and I like what you do, and I'm going to sing some of your songs, and we're going to be friends, and we're going to make some music together. And you don't know who means what they say in show business, but if you were to say nobody, you would be right more than you're wrong. But in the case of Jimmy, he meant that, and we're still we're as good of pals as you can be, and we're running around being of use to one another two or three years later.
Fight like brothers?
No, we don't fight. No, I'm not.
See, that's what I've heard for years. I've known you guys a little bit through the years, but not like our mutual friends Jay Blunk and Brian Phillips, who we were talking about off the
air. Oh, yes, that's right.
And but I think that's amazing, because you think about the great performer songwriting duos in the history of, like Jagger and Keith Richards. They don't even like each other, but somehow they keep putting stuff together. I love that you and Buffett are still pals.
Well, no, I kind of draft off of him in the NASCAR sense of the word, and because I was born without really any ambition to be in the middle of a stage. I didn't really have that. Whatever, when they passed that out, I was in another line for chili. Which I still get.
You were in the chili line. Okay, well, all right.
That's good.
But Jimmy has enough ambition, for a county.
Amen to that.
So I benefit from that because he's been a great advocate of my work and what I do, and I've been able to help him. He's got a really brilliant, hard focus, kind of short attention span. He has a lot of great ideas and moves through them quickly. And
he's a genius.
He absolutely is.
Genius.
And I'm more of a finish carpenter. I can sort of do the detail finish work, and so we are of use to one another.
Jimmy, I remember talking to Jimmy once, and I said to him, I said, you throw out more ideas than the rest of us have.
It's really true.
I think a lot of people know this. Most people should know this. Along with being a tremendous performer, I mean, songwriter extraordinaire. Are you a songwriter singer, or are you a singer songwriter?
Oh, I would be a songwriter singer. I would pay to hear someone besides me sing, like right now. I would give you one of your $2 back for one of you guys to sing.
the reason I say this is because I love your voice, I love your music,
and I
think about all the stuff you've written. Some of those have to be tough to give up. Kenny Chesney records your things, everything. Have you had one of those that got away and you go, oh, that's one I should have done me?
No. I usually do some sort of a recording of a song when I write it. So I have my version of it, and then when someone else takes it and runs, whether it's Kenny or Zach or Jimmy, it's nothing except a wonderful compliment that someone sees some merit in how you go about your business.
You are way too normal and a good guy.
You're being way too modest too, Steve. I mean, Mac is in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's not just a guy who dabbles on the guitar and puts his stuff out. I mean, you have a tremendous history and record of songwriting in Nashville and country music, as well as your work with Jimmy Buffett. When you talk about country music and where it's at today, and people who write country songs, they say, oh, well, there's the back porch, the truck, ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend. What makes a great country music song?
Well, I think Harlan Howard said three chords and the truth a long time ago, and that's a cliche at this point, but it is the truth part of it is pretty critical. And when I first began playing country music, it seemed overtly simple to me, and I kind of overlooked the heart of the thing. It's what regular people sit and talk about and concern themselves with, and those subjects tend to resonate. And it doesn't really have to be a farmer on a tractor to understand that. It's just the basic things that are important.
You don't have to have a dog and a truck and all that and all the cliches.
No, you just
maybe a little beard in her once in a while. Andrea, say hi.
Your success has spanned generations, and I know the fans have a lot to do with that, but what do you attribute the success to? Just going from my parents and me and then my would-be kids and all of our, just through the generations, just love for you guys.
Well, I grew up in church in North Mississippi, so to me it seems like a daisy chain series of Old Testament miracles that there's no other explanation for. I'm the luckiest guy that I know. I do my favorite thing on earth and get to call it a job on tax returns and loan applications.
Well, it helps pay for the chili.
Yeah.
It pays for the chili. It does, yes.
Would you sing for us when we come back?
Oh, I'd be honored. Thank you.
And what are you doing in town?
Well, we're the Coral Reefers are kicking off the new tour. It's the 40th anniversary of Son of a Sailor being released.
Thank God you guys got work. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, we lobbied hard.
Only 40 years deep.
You got to hire a musical lobbyist, I think, to get Jimmy right, a show. But we're in Des Moines tonight, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then I'm playing Wrigley later this summer, I know, because that's the big summer show. And we'll come back, and Mac's going to play for us in just a second on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Steve Cochran Show, we continue. Justin's in this morning. It's show number 1151, and it's great to see Mac McAnally, who I think we bump into most times when you're in town. You know, I mentioned my old friend Brian Phillips. One of the coolest things I've seen, and I've been lucky to see a lot of things because I'm old, is you guys with Zach Brown on a crossroads for CMT down at a place called The Factory in Franklin, Tennessee, back in, I guess, about 2009, probably.
Mm-hmm. That's about right.
And Brian, I think, had this concept. You take two people from sort of different genres, different fields, put them together. And you and Zach Brown, I mean, one of the great nights, man. Just singing each other's music, having a good time.
It's a blast. He's we really support him and what he's doing, his organization. He does it right and well.
It's so different from when the time you got in, because Zach's one of the pioneers of starting his own publishing, starting his own thing.
Yeah.
And he used to have to fight for that record deal. The record deal.
I signed all the terrible contracts. My actual original record contract is on the wall of attorney's offices, like, this is what you don't do. Right, so I had to be court approved as a minor in Mississippi to sign this really horrible deal, and the guy I was signing the deal with paid my attorney. He got my attorney for me, which is, I don't recommend that as a process.
No, probably not a great idea. It might be a conflict. But do you feel for kids now trying to come up? Because you either got to be seen in Nashville singing somewhere where somebody knows somebody that knows somebody, or you get on YouTube and somebody knows somebody. It's got to be harder, isn't it?
It's amazing what, you know, and because of all the competition shows that have been the last couple of decades, you have to jump up and say, hey, look at me.
Right.
And so for me, I was a really bashful kid, and I was raised in farm country in Mississippi, that it's not a character trait to call attention to yourself, you know. So it's pretty ironic that you end up in show business where you're kind of dead in the water if you don't figure out some way to call attention to yourself. But that's why I feel particularly fortunate, because I don't have it in me to say, hey, look at me. And I couldn't start right now. I envy kids who have enough chutzpah to go and do it now, but I'm glad for me that I got in before the window shut on blind faith idiots getting through.
Do you see younger generations of writers wanting to skip the process of becoming a songwriter and get right to being a star?
Oh, there's some of them who that's really their ambition. I remember hearing they said about Madonna, "I'm going to be famous. I don't know how yet."
But it almost never works that way.
Yeah, right. Almost never. And she pulled it off really well. But for me, it's just trying to do something better. I want to get better as a guitar player. I want to be a better singer. I want to be a better brother to my sisters and American and ex-husband to my ex-wife. I want to get better, you know.
That's a good life lesson, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just a general. You don't have to think too hard every morning. It's pretty simple.
You know, I think about the first time I met you, probably 30 years ago, maybe, and you seem like the same guy you were then, yet we just talked off the air about the fact that, you had four heart attacks in a weekend.
I did.
Does that change your life, other than eating different things?
You know, I
because
already...
you look great, and you still got a full head of hair, and yes, I'm bitter.
It's sort of a shrubbery.
But does that change your outlook, or is your outlook... I mean, you were so grounded to begin with, I don't know that you needed a tweak.
No, I already appreciated every minute, but the last couple of years, I took it as a mission to see how much I could work. I worked with some charities, and I worked with a lot of friends on their records, and I worked almost every day for the last couple of years, and I probably shouldn't have worked quite as much as I did. And
catches up.
And I've, you know, the men in my family tend to very courteously drop dead in the yard at about 58 or 60 years old, and you know, just to try to save anybody trouble in the family. And
at least it's close to the car.
I was the first McAnally to call 911, and I'm grateful that I did, but I have to apologize individually to my family member. What are you doing? You call 911?
Right. Who do you think you are?
Yes.
I direct you to MacMcAnally.com, MacMcAnally. The Southbound Orchestra Project out and available now, and it's a cool website. You got everything you need right there, centralized.
Appreciate that. That's a total charity project for a food charity in Mississippi, Extra Table, really good organization.
Well, your church-going, piano-playing mom would be very proud, and I'm sure she's smiling at you.
She was overly proud, yeah.
All right, what are you going to sing for us?
Well, this is a little song I wrote for my kids on a Christmas morning a long time ago, and it sat around for 20 years, and my buddy Kenny Chesney called me up just out of the blue and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing, because I'm honest." And he said, "Come to the studio tomorrow." And I said, "I'll be there. What are we going to do?" And he said, "We're going to cut one of your songs, and I don't care which one."
How great is that?
As long as I've been writing songs, I never heard anybody say that. And to hear somebody say it, and that be Kenny, is particularly special. So I go to the studio the next day, and he says, "What song you want to sing, Mac? I know a bunch of your songs." And I said, "Doesn't matter to me, Kenny. I know a bunch of my songs, too."
I can play all of them.
Yeah. But he said, "I don't have kids yet, but when and if I do, what you said to your kids in this song down the road, I would like to say to mine. Let's do that. And you sing a second verse, and we'll make it a duet." And
there you go.
Literally that organic, and it ended up being a number one record and getting a Grammy nomination, and wonderful things happened from it.
There you go. Here's Mac on WGN.
Yeah. "When I was a boy, four houses down from me was a family with an only child. And she was the only girl in this old world that could make me smile. Down the road, I made up reasons to go down the road. And somewhere inside of me, there was something she took a liking to. And I asked her to marry me. She said she really wanted to. Down the road, see what life's gonna hold. Down the road. Her mama wants to know, am I washed in the blood or just in the water? Her daddy wants to know that I make enough to take his daughter down the road. When it comes time to go down the road." "Now down the street from here, there's an engineer with an only son. And our baby girl says she believes that he is the only one down the road. Her mama wants to know, is he washed in the blood or just in the water? And I want to know that he makes enough to take my daughter down the road. When it comes time to go down the road, down the road. And do I want to help her go down the road? Down, down, down that road.
So good, it's ridiculous. That is fantastic.
Thank y'all.
That is tremendous. It is an honor to see you again, and an honor to have you sing that song here.
My privilege, Steve. Thank you.
And I was choking up a lot over here, but then again, I'm a softie. God bless you, man. Continued good health. 9-time CMA Musician of the Year.
I demanded a recount every single year.
safe travel. Say hi to Jimmy, and we'll see you at Wrigley.
We will do it. Have a great one, guys.
MacMacAnally.com, and you folks in Des Moines, enjoy that show this week. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen. Do it. Screams from the haters. Got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music.
Taylor Castroneves, Dancing with the Stars winner. Andy Driver, going to be in here in just a second. He's been hanging out in the green room. Every time I walk by the green room, all I hear is, vroom, vroom, vroom. The guy's just a one-track mind. And Helio's been on the show before. It'd be nice to have him back in here. And it's nice to have in studio with us right now an amazing young woman who is doing something that I think ought to be promoted, and that's why you're sitting here right now. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show today.
It's nice to see you. Maria, what's your last name?
Guilfoyle.
And Maria, what is the Power Thread?
The Power Thread is a website and social media campaign that connects women with style, empowerment, and design. The idea of it is to bring these things together into one platform and really empower women and learn about products.
So is the goal to generate self-esteem, encouragement, entrepreneurship, and business success?
A little bit. It's really about sharing. So I think women are power. So it's not necessarily to create self-esteem, but to share that self-esteem women have and share those accomplishments women have and their interests. It's also about learning about products or little things that women do every day that they're really excited about and sharing those with other women.
Well, but everybody is not you. And at 22?
Yeah, I'm 22.
At 22, you've done a lot. So what's the ideal person to come to the Power Thread? Somebody who wants to learn more or somebody who's already on the way?
It can be anyone, really any young woman who has a passion, an idea, a hobby, or honestly just a product or an item that they feel really great about. So maybe they have a coat that they throw on for a day, and when they put that on, they feel really powerful and they feel ready for their day. Or it's a face lotion that when they use, they feel awake and ready to start their day.
You know, Dave
something
is,
to share.
Dave's a very snappy dresser. I think we can agree that I am a terrific dresser. Yeah. Andrea is lovely every day. Andrea, say hi to her for me.
Maria, I think this is a wonderful, wonderful project that you started, and it's very successful. Are you finding now that more women are wanting to help each other, you know, especially mentor other women and say, come on, here, this is the way to do it, instead of kind of like butting heads with each other, helping each other?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We're definitely in an age of sharing where you can see on social media and on Instagram, people really want to help each other, and women really are driven to support each other and to mentor each other. So this is really a platform that's not about my personal blog or any specific person, but about everyone sharing that experience.
Samberg, how do you know Maria?
I know Maria.
Let me try that.
I know Maria because she was a patient of my sister's for a long time.
Your sister is a therapist.
Prior to Maria's excelling here in the fashion blogging atmosphere, she was a ice skater and I think synchronized.
I figure skated competitively through high school.
Yeah, me too.
In Chicago. And then I went to school in St. Louis, and I know Katie through that.
Yeah.
So physical therapy, because skater, you'd be beat up and she would try to fix you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A little bit of that.
I think an interesting thing about the Power Thread that Maria brings up is, and something that's been confusing or gotten lost in this time where women are becoming so, we were already powerful, but people are noticing it, is that it's not just about being a CEO or all these strong, more masculine type things. It's also things like, I enjoy a certain mascara, and I feeling pretty makes me feel powerful. Not that you have to be pretty to get to success or anything, but it's okay to be a strong female who works hard, who wants to take control at work and want to look good at the same time. You know, like we have a lot of different layers. It's not just you know, one side or the other. And so this is a great way to encompass all of it, so you don't have to pick, like, do I have to be the pretty girl or the smart girl, or, you know, I can be all of these things and they all together make me who I am.
It's a good way to put it. Layers externally and internally. I'm sure you see that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're really excited to have anyone on the platform and to interview lots of different women and have that variety.
Thepowerthread.com.
Thepowerthread.com.
Is the website. Justin?
Yeah, it's an interesting, delicate balance between when you're talking about the Power Thread, which is great, and you're showcasing women and their relationships with not just what they do, but the products that they use, that we've seen with social media and websites, influencers, and this idea pop up where there is just so much attachment to the personality, to the product.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that that's authentic, that it's not you're representing a powerful woman and she uses this type of mascara and it's, you know, it's obvious that
not
this
just an influencer.
Yeah, it's just an
selling.
An influencer selling something. How do you make sure that the whole experience is authentic?
Definitely. So I've really focused on, when I'm interviewing these women, to separate their personal experiences and their hobbies and what being powerful means to them from the product. So when I go through the interview, I start with their background, their hobbies, their interests, and then go into what does it mean to you to be powerful? What makes you feel confident? And then after that, we go into the product and the item that they're interested in. And I've also had some women that I've interviewed say, you know, it's not necessarily a product. It's my tattoo, or it's the music I listen to every morning, or it's my interest in practicing sustainability and zero waste. And so I've allowed it to branch beyond just a product and more into their interests and hobbies.
Where's this go for you? Where, I mean, you know, this is, let me ask you the cliched question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What does this do? What's your big picture idea for the site?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
The Power Thread is very young right now, so I'm open to seeing where it goes and where it grows organically. But I would love to have this grow to be more recognized in a larger platform that engages more women around the world. I'm actually working on starting an ambassador program that will have young women at different college campuses, hopefully, or different cities that can engage their friends in the platform as well. I'd love to eventually start a brand or a product line, or even maybe some sort of brand consulting firm that brings all this together. But I'm really excited for the Power Thread to grow to engage more women around.
Yeah, personal brand is the, you know, the catchphrase of the moment. How would you describe yours?
My personal brand?
Yeah.
I think I'm someone who is definitely interested in style and design and having fun with that, but also someone that's very much a people person. And I'm really not just interested in my brand, but everyone's brand, and learning from people around me.
Now, you've been designing for a lot of years.
Yes.
I know. You've been. What got you interested in that? Were you at stores and you didn't see what you liked, or you were like, "Ooh, I
like that." Were you arguing with your mom about what you could wear to school? You
know, cut the sleeves off of that, or what? What?
Yeah.
The genesis.
So I've always been interested in fashion design. I, from a young age, really enjoyed art. So I would always be drawing and painting with my free time. In preschool, I'd always be in the drawing art section of the room. And I really enjoyed making things with my hands. And I've always loved fashion because I think it's so cool that you could make what you're wearing. And that can represent your personality, your style, your mood. I also think the fashion industry is really interesting because it's global. It's something that everyone can see. And it can be one universal language in a way. And so from a young age, I started trying to make a skirt or make a scarf and wear that to school. And I've learned that the fashion industry is not just about making clothing and selling clothing. It's also about bringing people together and learning about different designs and different aesthetics and what inspires people.
Any age range for the powerthread.com? Limitations? Like, can my grandmother join you?
There's no limitations. Your grandmother can join me. I'm primarily looking for 20 to 30 year old women, but anyone is welcome.
And everybody can learn from everybody.
Yes.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, of course.
Being in the older realm here, can you put like a picture, Maria, of, I'm always challenged design wise. If I put something on and I don't know how it looks, and one of my daughter's not in the house, my daughter-in-law, can you say no? You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you're asking to be judged by the internet?
Asking,
this seems
she's
very dangerous
for your phone
to me.
Numbers,
I'm just wondering if the Power Thread can help you with your own personal design problems
and your style.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think the Power Thread would be open to that, and we'd love working with anyone.
But it's a cool idea. We'll, of course, have to make sure the comments are kind, because it's easy with Mary. She looks great.
Yeah.
But some, you know, I don't know if you know this. Some people on the internet are mean. I don't know
That's
if you've
true.
Heard that.
That is true. Some
We're going to keep
mean.
Them off the powerthread.com.
Well, we hope to have a positive environment on the Power Thread.
There you go. Look at that. Listen, it's an honor to meet you. And
you're
very impressive and, frankly, too good for the show.
It's an honor to be on the show.
Oh,
so
it's
thank
nice
you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here. ThePowerThread.com.
Open the door to the 3-time Winners Club. There's a brand new member, and his name is Elio Castro Neves. The fist race in the air. The twin checkered flags. Elio wins it.
You ain't first. You're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to use that tradition, Ricky Bobby.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
She's real fine. Packs of wild dogs have taken over major cities across America. Remember that? Ricky Bobby, fantastic. Helio Castroneves is here. You know, a lot of times I'll be walking down the street minding my own business, and people will go, Helio? I go, no, Steve. Because we get confused for each other a lot.
Exactly.
We
look
alike. Resemblance is crazy.
It's incredible, isn't it?
A lot. Yeah. Nuts.
Even the accent, huh? It's perfect.
Yours being fake, mine being real. Indy 500 coming up.
That's right.
A race you know well, my friend.
That's right. Well, first of all, it's great to be back. We were just talking about how long ago. It's about 8-10 years. We kind of like...
can't believe it was 10 years ago that you won Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
And you got to stop carrying the trophy around.
I know. People
He's got the mirror ball. He's hanging around his neck, like a clock.
Yeah, and I'll never forget the banana suit, too.
Exactly. That I still have it, too.
Do you have it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
I tell you one thing. It's the toughest thing when you go into a wedding or nightclub, or everybody's waiting. Come on, time for you to start dancing. And I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I said, I retire now. On dancing, I definitely retired. Didn't retire on racing, but
you can't go to a wedding? Right.
When you go, people like expecting. Okay, we want to see the Guinness Waltz.
The jitterbug.
And I'm like, I cannot dance like 50 Cent, with a Viennese Waltz. It doesn't make sense.
So no, I forgot. Who is your partner?
Julianne Hough.
Oh yeah, that worked out.
That worked out really good.
Yeah, she's done fairly well.
She was incredible. Still, obviously. I mean, actually, all the dancers are so amazing talent. I mean, I'm talking about their athletes, their actors, singers. I mean, they can do it all. I mean, no question about it. They're really, really incredible.
Well, the funny thing, too, about Dancing with the Stars is so many of those kids come from Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Because who amongst us didn't think Utah, home of dancing?
Yeah, I guess, another partner that I had, it was Chelsea Hightower.
Yeah.
And she's from Utah as well. I guess it's a big community, though? And everybody really enjoy dancing. It's big in Europe as well. The Russian, they're really, really strong on dancing as well, especially the ballroom dancing.
Yeah, well, and a lot of other things. all right, so where is the Mirror Ball?
The Mirror Ball is right between my three Indy trophies.
That's amazing.
Listen.
You have it on the same shelf.
I have to say, the reason I have that, because every time I get out of home and I look at that trophy, I was like, you know what? I put so much work into it, so much sweat, so many hours, and I won it. So,
yeah, but one of those could kill you. The other is dancing.
The other could really hurt your back.
Yeah, because I tell you what, but it's just about inspiration. You know, like if I was able to do it, if I was able to dance and I won it, I can do anything else. So I tell you what, I was in a great shape when I was doing Dancing with the Stars.
Well, can't believe how you let yourself go. No,
but it's incredible.
The Indy 500 coming up, and when are you going to get tired enough to go home and say I've done it all?
Oh boy, I guess when the fire is done, and right now it's still burning.
You still love it?
I still love it. It's
get butterflies on race
day? Oh, absolutely. In fact, qualifying Saturday, we're qualifying for the Fast 9, and I was first, and I'm like, all right, and if it would rain on Sunday, I would be starting on pole position, and I was doing I was dancing every rain dance to make sure it rained so that I can all right. Unfortunately, the rain never show up, so
right.
And it's funny, guys, just play a little bit of the phrase, like, if ain't first, you're last.
Yeah,
it's funny because I was the last one to go out, and Ed Carpenter, which was the guy that got pole position, he threw a phenomenal lap. It was about 230 miles per hour, just the average. So I radio my guys and say, hey, do we have enough gears to go that fast? And they're like, only if we have the wind pushing us. I'm like, you know what? Let's take a chance. And obviously it didn't pay off. So we're starting eighth, which is no problem. It's not where you started. It's where you finish. And yes, just to answer your question, I am excited. I still have a lot of energy to keep going for the Indy 500.
NASCAR, everybody talks about got to have the right car. Got to be the car. I've always felt like this. You tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm a fan, as you know.
Yep.
And this is no knock on NASCAR. You got to be really good to win at NASCAR.
Correct.
But Indy Series, the driver's got to be right for the car. NASCAR, the car's got to be right for the driver. Right or wrong?
Nah, it's similar to NASCAR. To an Indy car. Yeah.
So obviously your car's got to run.
Yeah, no. It's if you don't have a good team, you're not going to be able to do much unless unless you're really, really lucky. You know, a lot of good guys go out, or mechanical failure or things like that, which these days, it's very difficult.
Well, how many people, tell people this, because I don't think people understand, between the garage, the prep, the road crew, all these guys, how many guys on the team?
Oh, we have about four cars on the team right now. Team Penske, that's what I'm driving. And each car, you have about 10 guys working. But that's on the racetrack, okay? Outside the racetrack, you know, you have the engineers, which right. is probably about 30 people together with, you know, gearbox. You're talking about data guy. We have a system that it's actually simultaneously you can actually share with other guys while they're racing on the racetrack. People actually on the shop watching exactly what's happening right there on the racetrack.
Helio's so, downloading apps while he's going P30.
I wish, you know, but we do have the Verizon app, actually, that it's incredible that you can actually see your competitor. What is he doing? What gear he's actually changing? So it's, I tell you what, technology.
Let me see if we can get every sponsor in this interview. Come on.
Yeah, well, and actually the Shell Pennzoil.
Incredible. Oh, I don't know. Just because it's radio doesn't mean the patches don't show up. Dave, say hi.
We were talking a little bit off the air, and I would assume at this point, as long as you've been at this, and with three Indy 500 wins under your belt, that you would have everything down to a science now. You would just show up there, and you're ready to go. And you were telling us that it's not till Carburation Day that you actually say, okay, now we've got it down. Now we know exactly
what
we're going to do.
This year we have a new car, new body kit, so everybody has the same type of car. Last year was a little bit different. So now, every result, every data that you have from the last year, it resets. It's just like you're starting all over again. So it's going to be interesting because I feel, practicing with everyone, a lot of guys having the same kind of like scenario. We're not ready yet. So we have one more practice, which is going to be Carburation Day on Friday.
Right.
And that's the last day to make sure that you're ready.
And
if you're not ready.
And the excitement builds, Andrea.
Oh, it still keep going.
Helio, we love when you're here. I have to ask you, does your wife let you drive now? Do you get so frustrated when you get in a regular car and you're stuck in traffic?
Oh, I tell you what. She says that I drive like an old lady. You know, and I'm like, well, why? I have you. I have my daughter. You know, I want to make sure that I drive safe. I was like, we gotta go. I was like, and then when I go, she's like, oh, you're going too fast.
You know, sure, guy in the fast lane doing 42, and it's right. a three-time Indy champ. Right. All right, now Mary Vanderbilt's a dancer.
Okay.
She's a dancer. She loves Dancing with the Stars. I said, come down, say hi.
I watch it all the time, and very I ballroom good. Dance on my own. And what did you think of this last season that ended last night, the Dancing with the Athletes, that they did it, boom, in 4 weeks? It was absolutely insane.
It was crazy. I mean, I feel for those guys, to be honest, because when you go into that, like, super ultra-duper speed to learn the process, the problem is the
Wait
process.
A minute, it's called super ooper-duper?
Well, I'm just saying that it's sometimes you don't have enough time to learn. I mean, it's just the process. You know, when I was doing with Julianne, she was like, okay, let's start very slow, 4 hours a day. And then, which I thought was like, slow. 4 hours a day? I thought I was going to the Olympics, you know? 4 hours a day.
And that's slow.
And then going 6, 8 until we finish like the last. So imagine for those guys all of a sudden doing everything at once. It's a lot of information.
Yeah, but you're not. Everybody who wins is always a figure skater or a gymnast. Do you think they should not let the figure skaters and gymnasts? Totally. I mean, it was
because they're dancers.
They're dancers already, and you were fantastic, and you're not a dancer, and you won. So that was legit.
Well, there was Mel B. I was competing against Mel B, and she was very upset with me when I won. I was like, I'm sorry. What can I say? You know. But I tell you one thing: when you have the figure skating, they actually in their day life, they already do some choreographies, they do some dancing,
ballet
mm-hmm. so that they can have the form. And so for them, to be honest, it's just like a walk in a park.
Exactly.
You're right. I don't think it's very necessary fair to have them there. But remember, the show, it's not only about the points and scores. You also need to have the votes.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the votes, it doesn't matter if you have good scores. So it's a great balance, to be honest.
But to be fair, that's why I continue to turn it down. I mean, they ask year after year after year.
Right.
And that's
right.
why I continue to say no. I said, listen, I want it to be fair to the others.
Uh-huh.
Stick around 1 second more with the Helio Castroneves coming up. And, you know, look, the Indy is, what, days away?
Sunday.
Yeah, days away.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
People ask me all the time. They go, "You have, you know, you're lucky enough to meet a bunch of, you know, that's just as well. You meet a bunch of big stars and stuff." They go, "Are any of them, you know, difficult?" Very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare. But guys like Elio,
oh my God,
the best, you know. And it's usually the support people. And Dave, what a pain he is. He's unbelievable. He is incredibly difficult. He's been screwing up the show since he walked in. Barely keeping Dave awake in the back of the room. Once voted sexiest race car driver by People Magazine, and then you did the ESPN The Body issue.
Did you see that?
No.
I did. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
No, it's because I read all the publications to be a total.
All the publications.
My mom got so upset with me. I said, "Mom," because she didn't see the actual piece. She just heard about that I was a naked in a magazine. And what are you doing naked in a magazine? I didn't raise you to be like that. Mom, relax. It's a very respectable magazine. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about ESPN, and she's like, "No," she was not.
She just heard naked.
She just heard naked, and that's it.
She's a good Brazilian mom. She doesn't.
She was not happy, and well, and anyway,
if you win Sunday, you're gonna climb the fence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get sick of climbing fences.
Are you kidding me?
There's no prison that could hold Elio.
I tell you, what,
you were the original Spider-Man.
Exactly. Everyone wants to climb the fence. Everybody has like, I gotta do it. So we're going to do it again.
And I know everything has to be perfection. Everything has to be down to the split second. Everybody's got to know their job. Everybody's got to do their thing. Do you practice drinking milk?
Do
you drink a little
I drink a lot of milk in the morning.
Yeah, a little pre little milk before you get out there.
So we're ready, my friend.
You've won 3 times. You're going for your 4th. You'll be among a handful of legends. Mentally, how do you prepare for that? Is that a help? Is that a hindrance? The idea that you've won it before? I mean, how do you keep yourself mentally focused for a race when you've won it 3 times
before? The good news is I know what it takes to win. Obviously, every time you go out there, it's a different aspect, a different picture. As we just talked about, the cars are different. So every race, it's completely different from another. So in that aspect, I guess it helps me to, you know, maintain calm, not panicking, trying to understand what the car is telling me so that I can reach to that moment that I did in the past. So in the end of the day, I guess when you respect that place, it normally pays off. And that's again, the same mentality I'm going. Hopefully that will pay off again.
Do you have a race day routine? Do you do something in the morning that you do every year at the Indy 500?
You know, yes, normally I try to make sure that I don't eat anything particularly different. You know, I'm just like my cereal.
Burritos.
Yeah. No. All of a sudden you go with the tacos, you know. So, no, I just particularly trying to maintain the same thing. And, you particularly do it, see the sponsors, talking to friends, and get ready. But it is exciting. Right when you start, it's just when you go to a show, you know, any show that you're talking about, your star there, you want to see it, the music playing, you hear the voice of everyone, the excitement, everybody, and when that first, you know, when they start saying introducing the drivers, man, that's the time you're like, "Woo, we're ready,
let's
come
go
on,
rock this place."
What awesome. About gentlemen, start your engines? I mean, that's,
well, that's when I'm in a car,
you don't hear that.
That's
do
it. We're like, close the visor. Showtime, baby.
And, you know, it's a friend of ours that does the anthem, and back home in Indiana, a guy named Jim Cornelison. He sings the anthem at the Blackhawks games, and he is it back home in Indiana?
He sings back home in Indiana. I think Kelly Clarkson's doing the anthem.
Oh, okay. So he does back home in Indiana.
Yeah. Okay,
so
that's
it's pretty cool. He's a great guy. Great
All right, awesome.
Too big for the car. It's great to see you, man. I wish you nothing but success. HelioCastroNevis.com, TeamPenske.com.
I'll be back.
I know you will. God
I'll
bless you.
Celebrating.
God bless you. Be safe. Drive hard. Go win.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, guys.
I'll buy the milk.
No problem.
All right, Bill and Wendy next, 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Thank you, Justin Kaufman. Thank you, Andrea. Dave. No, thank you, Dave.
What is that about?
What's that? It's tiny. It's humor.
It's humor.
It's just humor.
It's funny.
Hi, kids. How are you?
Good morning.
After every good show, Bill, you still climb a fence and drink milk as well, don't you?
I do it at the end of every good show. So once a week, once every couple weeks. Right. Chocolate milk, too. Not
of
the
course.
I don't like the regular milk.
No,
I like the chocolate milk.
What are you doing today?
We've got Yes tickets to give away. Yes. It's a Tech Tuesday and various other things up our sleeves.
Oh, well, I don't want to get in the way of your sleeves. We'll see you guys tomorrow on 720 WGN.